I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. I'm in a better mood this time. Jim Campbell's with me.
Oh, he's in a great mood.
Luke Moore is.
Feels good, doesn't it?
And Pete Donaldson.
All right. Pete and Jim are a bit drunk. Woo! Marcus is not drunk. Luke, drunk status?
No, I'm all right.
Ah, oh, good
I'm
lad. Right.
Yeah, I think the listeners know that Luke and I are the professional ones.
Yeah, they've opened
a
telephone.
You're also a bit Welsh, aren't you?
So I'm a bit Welsh.
Mixed emotions.
Yeah.
He hasn't mentioned
mixed
that
drinks.
Since the final whistle, has he? Couldn't shut up about it beforehand.
No, my mum texted me a couple of times comparing Vardy's beauty with Gareth Bale's. And I was like, no one's winning that fight, are they?
No.
No, they're not handsome men.
Two bald men fighting over a comb.
Indeed.
Oh, England won 2-1 against Wales.
It feels so good to be on the right side of it.
Yeah, it's strange.
We've had all the emotions already.
I'm more depressed about this match than I was the previous one.
It was
dreadful. It was Farage and Geldof on that barge.
They're on separate
the Farage
barges.
Barge.
Separate barges.
Yeah, they're on the same barge. It would have been worse. But also better.
Let's not talk about that just yet.
I thought, at all. I do see where Pete's coming from, but I would just venture this. When you're playing against a team, and I don't want to kick Wales when they're down because they've had a good win already, and they're probably going to be in the knockout phase, which is great for them. Mm. And it's great for anybody.
Well.
But when you sit up against a team and you play against a team who show absolutely no ambition, if you look at the stats on that game, England, I think, had 21 shots. Yeah, and by far the lion's share of possession.
65-3 lion's share. Yeah. The brave lion's share.
What else? The most you can level at England in terms of criticism after that game is, one, that Joe Hart made a mistake, which we all saw that. But secondly, that they struggled a bit to break a team down who were playing five defenders and, you know, two, possibly even three midfielders in front of them. They very often
had 9 or 10 in front of the ball.
And also against a team that have a lot more passion.
But did you not think that constant... It wasn't even a barrage, just lazy dereliction of duty, just this lazy dink into the box. Stroked ball, just kind of like, if Carroll was on the field, you'd get a knockdown. But they were picking that up all day, the Welsh defence.
I don't know whether Rio Ferdinand invented it or just he's the first person I remember doing it, but an England centre-back marauding into just before the centre circle and just aimlessly chipping it. It's just such an England trope.
I seem to remember Big Sol being a fan of that, Marcus.
Yeah,
well?
that would make sense as well.
But I think they all have, to be fair, over the years.
Anyway, Pete, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not having this. This is an
You're letting emotion take over
there. 100%. This is an important
you're letting joy
song.
Into your life.
the thing is, Pete,
the drunker I get, the more serious I get.
Come on.
I'm going to be Jonathan Wilson in another pint.
He used to be such a fun drunk. What happened to you?
He's not drunk. That's what's happening.
Yeah. I'm sobering up.
He's saying he is, just to be cool.
Yeah.
But he isn't. But I think, Peter, you know as well as I do that especially with tournament games, you there are some good performances, there are some results you grind out, and that was one of them. And
that
England,
was two stinking performances on the field at the same time for me.
But England, you know, the stat that most people are probably aware of now, or the fact that England have never come back from being down at half-time in a tournament game ever. It's a historic win for England in a sort of weird way, but it is, which shows a bit of character. You might say, well, OK, they won 2-1, they're running a goal down, but they've never done it before in history.
Yeah.
In the same way, they've never won the opening game of the Euros. I mean, sometimes these sort of stats and facts, what do they really mean?
Never won the Euros.
They've never won the Euros.
But, but we had a bit of a tete-a-tete. We had a bit of an argument about...
let's not talk about that.
You basically said... You were like dissing my girl. You basically said that we need to win the group. And I was like...
I do think that, yeah.
At this position, I think we need to become second because we don't seem to put in any sort of performance against a team who aren't very good. With the greatest respect to Wales.
What? So on behalf of the listeners on the behalf of the listeners who are undoubtedly going to ask
you
the same
question.
I'd
rather play Germany than Wales.
What are you talking about?
By the way, hang on, we have established...
The teams that they should win against, they seem to put in a terrible performance.
But they just beat a team they're supposed to win against.
And they put in a terrible performance.
So is the win not the most important thing?
Are you such a football purist that you're all about the performance now?
It was dross.
It's back to the Pardew Palace thing because Wales scored first.
He thinks England lost that game.
Yeah.
How many strikes did they have at the end of the match?
Five.
How many goals and how many points?
That's what I do on Football Manager when everything's gone tits up.
You are a maniac.
How many points did they end up?
Football's not coming on. Yeah, we're all going on. not having it.
Not yet.
Shall I wrestle this back?
Please.
Yeah. But basically, England...
Drunk with power.
It'll be interesting to see...
And gin.
It'll be interesting to see when England move on through the tournament, as we hope they will. And you think... What's going to happen against Slovakia is Hamsik's probably going to score, but England because England can't keep anyone quiet. Yeah. But England should hopefully win that game, get a positive result there, and then they'll go into play a team. If they win the group, they'll play a third place team from Group A, C, or D.
If they win the group,
if they win the group, and that is a team. That's again another team who are possibly going to look at that game and say if they pick up someone like Romania or Northern Ireland in the second round. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but if that does happen, they're going to play another couple of teams. Or a choice of another couple of teams who aren't also going to show too much ambition. Those teams are going to look at that game and go, the best chance we've got against England is a back-to-the-wall defensive job and hopefully either get them on penalties or nick a goal. Mm. So England aren't actually... And Slovakia are probably going to be fairly similar. So England aren't actually going to play a team which is a sort of you have a go, we have a go type thing till the quarter-final, if they get that far. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see how England work on breaking teams down. And there is a kernel of truth in what Pete's saying about how like it was a little bit like taking the easy way out. Like Dyer and Ali, I didn't think played very well. Dyer would look up, not see any option, not really have the ability or the confidence at that point to play a good incisive pass inside the fullback or something. Or maybe Sterling wasn't making the run at one point and just play that really easy dinked ball over the top.
Yeah. Against the back five, that's not
going to
work.
Which is an easy way out as well.
And the other situation you had was Rooney's, who I thought played quite well, as did Lallana. I don't understand why he went off.
But
with Rooney, I don't think he's used to playing with really, really quick players. He never plays in front of a player. He always plays it to feet. And I think that slows down the play a little bit. If he played into space a bit more...
I felt when he moved the ball over to Walker, who was fantastic...
Walker's been great.
One of the better fullbacks at the tournament so far. That wasn't so evident. But when he tried to move it left, what I thought was happening was... Danny Rose didn't have the confidence in Sterling to bomb on beyond him to overlap because he didn't know what Sterling was going to do, and Sterling was invariably giving the ball away, which then meant the outlet Rooney had was to Sterling, who again was giving the ball away. So the left hand side of the pitch was sort of closed to him, and then with Wales playing so deep, there wasn't a huge amount of space in behind anyway. So the only thing he could do was just recycle the possession, which I thought he did quite well. A couple of people, including yourself, Peter, said he slowed the game down a little bit, which I think he probably did. But I agree with you about Lallana. He was unlucky to be taken off, and I think there was an element of Hodgson just throwing the kitchen sink at it and just hoping it worked. But what I would say in response to that is Hodgson does get a lot of stick for being an overly cautious manager, mm-hmm. and he rolled the dice at half time in that game.
And at half time,
and he deserves a bit of credit for that.
Absolutely,
I love to see the five forwards on a pitch. That's exactly what I would do, and that's what.
But you fear for England. I fear.
Well, you're loving a bit of Rashford.
It's try every plan.
Sure,
try every plan at once.
At the same time,
Pete, were you loving a bit of Rashford coming on there?
That was very exciting. But I thought the main problem with England is they look very green. They look very young. They were so inexperienced. And Rooney was the oldest head on the field at that point. And then they brought someone who's like, was he 18?
I couldn't believe we saw Rashford. Mm. I thought that was very bold. And I thought he was just going to be like Walcott in 2006. Well,
but it was like that kind of like nuisance, unpredictable.
I think, thinking behind it, that Rashford is quite unpredictable. So by the very nature of that, he creates a lot of space. But because Wales was defending so deep with effectively five defenders at that point, and the, you know, the defensive midfielders dropping back as well, he didn't quite do that. But his hold-up play was still very good, pretty intricate. Yeah.
And the reason I think it was a little bit of a one-off as far as I think what Hodgson thought with that five forward type thing and all those attacking players on the pitch, I think he just thought Wales aren't doing anything here. They'll bite their arm off for a point here. They're not going to do anything going forward.
They brought Williams on with his hair, he's got so much hair, but he's still, we all know which way that hair's going. It's like the start of Casualty when a kid's playing next to a canal. It's like, we all know how this is ending. So just get rid of it now. Shave it off.
Make it the suit. It's Jovino, isn't it? Jovino will over.
I don't know if you guys had video vans when you were younger, but guys would drive around and they it's like a video shop but in a van.
Oh right, like a mobile library.
Videos, yeah. Mm. But he looks like that sort of man. They always had that sort of hair.
There was a moment where
questionable life decisions, and I know this because you're trying to rent me a video out of a van and your hair is confirming it.
He nearly had a moment where he jinked through a couple of players and blazed over the bar, and I thought, my goodness, that would be classic England to lose a goal there. But I think with Hodgson bringing on those two subs, It was a bold decision, but it was one that we all wanted to see happen because Kane has been poor.
We've often said on this show, off the back of World Cup 2014 and potentially around some qualifiers, we're so used to England underperforming and being underwhelming at tournaments. Pick a young squad and go for it. Why not? I mean, why not do that? If you're going to go out anyway, I mean, England limps to a couple of defeats last time and then a nil-nil draw against Costa Rica, which was hands down one of the most forgettable games I've ever seen of any genre.
I think you might be forgetting the Algeria game.
No, you
remember that because of the rage.
Yeah, that's right.
If you ever need that rage.
So England sort of did that against Wales. And, you know, if you look at the stats, like, as you said, Michael, 69% possession, 20 shots, three times the amount of corners Wales had. I mean, the Wales offered very little, and I don't blame them for that. But what I do blame them for is piping up before the game. Oh, none of your players will get an R in first 11. Good.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't care.
I'll be in a better team.
You can have Sterling. Knock yourself out, lads.
Yeah. I expected Hodgson to at the end of it, so I've kept pretty quiet till now. But I did think that was... I don't know how much really does Gareth Bale saying we've got more passion and we're better than England, blah, blah, how much does that really affect England players? Probably not. But if it does affect them, I would think that it would have the adverse effect.
Well, absolutely.
That they're going for.
It would galvanise them, surely.
I don't understand why Wales did that. I thought
the inverse effect.
Sorry, thank you. I don't know why they went for that. I suppose it was to try and ruffle the feathers of England and try and be... create a game, and they did largely during the first half create a scrappy affair and create a kind of Premier League game.
It was very much like a Premier League game
in a Premier League ground as well.
It was,
After you've watched that and now you're absolutely buzzing like we all are, if you want England to back England to win the tournament, they are 8-1 with Bet365 now. So £10 on that returns you £90, including your stake. Food for thought, I'm sure.
I'm still like really giddy from the game, almost. The opposite of how we were after the Russia game, but genuinely, that is the most I've enjoyed an England game at a tournament in years.
I loved it.
It was so much fun.
Do you know why I enjoyed it, Jim? I'll back you up on that. I know Pete's got a slightly different take on it, but the reason...
I was sat next to two Welsh blokes, to be fair. Yeah. They weren't happy.
Oh, hedging your bets. when Wales win, I'll just get my mum on the phone now. Pathetic from you, Dorothy.
It really is.
Yeah. I had one hand on the bloke's knee. Go on, come on.
One hand on a brains beer, Welsh. One hand on a carling, or which one shall I have next?
Do you think we'll win, or do you think England will win?
But the reason I enjoyed it is because looking back on it, you went through the whole sort of range of emotions. I was so frustrated with England because I actually thought, and again, it taps into something Pete touched on earlier, which is that I thought that, you know, when it really counted, more often than not, in terms of the technical ability required and the little 1-2 passes and the real sort of bit extra they needed to break down a team who were just absolutely hell bent on defending.
Yep.
We didn't have it. And the reason we didn't have it is because more often than not, with those types of games, and you see Spain do it a lot, and they sort of play, I personally think you need players who would sit deep but play make from deep.
Yeah.
So they'll play, they'll see runners and they'll pick runners out, not with these floated balls over top, which are nothing balls, which gets you out of jail because then you can say, oh, why didn't you make the run?
Yeah.
That's a cowardly pass for me. Those really intricate, assertive balls, England didn't play enough, and Dyer wasn't technically good enough on the day, I mean, not generally. Ali wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I thought Lallana was the only one who looked worth a damn. We talked about Rooney. Walker was fantastic. Rose, his hands were tied a bit through Sterling. And I said coming into this game, I think he'll play exactly the same team, but I don't think he'll play exactly the same team against Slovakia.
I think
he's now going to have to start using his squad.
I think he's lost his patience with Sterling, isn't he?
Yeah, really? Sterling has surely played his way out
of that's the tricky position.
And Vardy and Sturridge have probably played their way in.
But that's the tricky place, isn't it, to fill. You would think with Kane, I mean, much has been said in some of the papers that Kane has played so much football in the last couple of years. Has it kind of caught up with him? But whatever the reasons, you know, Kane's a very good player, and now, you know, maybe he's not a starter, he becomes a man you look to off the bench, and that's no shame at all.
Yeah.
But perhaps Vardy or Sturridge start through the middle, then who do you look for on the other side, you know, on the wing? I mean, it seemed to be Sturridge. He seemed to play Vardy straight up the middle,
didn't he?
Because perhaps he wasn't convinced what he saw in the friendlies with Vardy on the wing.
We all know Kane's a good player, but I mean, I can't personally think of a single thing he did in the first half against Wales, and that, you know, it's hard sometimes, especially when a team just sets out to defend, especially when you've played about 60 odd games in the calendar year, which is understandable. But as Jim said, Sterling's played his way out of the team. You'd wonder whether Kane has. Vardy and Sturridge have probably played their way in, but it's hard to know what he's going to do. But he needs to go after a win against Slovakia, and I think because Slovakia probably needs a positive result as well. They do, don't they?
They do. They've only got, I mean, they've got a good 3 points.
It'll be slightly more open game, won't it? I don't know what Roy Hodgson would take from this game, because it was like all three goals shouldn't have been scored, in my opinion. They were all three of them were just strange.
So the Vardy one was a Williams mistake.
Vardy one. Yeah. I mean, Vardy, the best he is expecting is it comes off the keeper and he's offside anyway. And we had a WhatsApp argument about that a little bit earlier on.
But he wouldn't have been offside if the ball came in. The ball was originally delivered, and Vardy made the striker run where he wasn't offside. If that come off the keeper, he wouldn't have been offside.
Yeah. No, but he was in an offside position. No, I mean, if an English player had headed it forward, you know what I mean? That's the best he's going to get, and it was unlucky. And I think the last goal was kind of fortunate. I think it wasn't really on.
It was well worked through. I mean, it was the first time that they had a little intricate 1-2 or give and go, and he went through. But you're right, I mean, on another day, the keeper might have saved that. It was a bit of a funny finish
But at the same time, it's
nice piece of improvisation.
It's margins, though, isn't it? England were knocking so hard on that door, it was always going to be one of them goes in, even if it's slightly scuffed.
Well, sure, the margins against Russia, you know what I mean?
Jim's also right, and the only thing I would add to that is the fact that that Wales, concentration-wise and mentally, would have been so drained by that point, because they were just playing real solid defensive football. They're not having the ball. They've got their eyes open, looking all over the place to concentrate on their defending. At some point, you'd fancy England to have got that chance, and obviously they took it, which was great for England fans.
It was wonderful seeing Roy Hodgson celebrate.
It's odd, wasn't it? How's a man so long in the tooth as a manager? I've never seen him celebrate before.
I noticed that we were talking about lanyards a couple of days ago, me and Luke, and Roy.
Why wasn't I there for that?
We met up on some waste ground. I had a little chat about
just completely topless. We're just like, lanyards on.
Except for your lanyards, which allowed you into the arena.
Bring your lanyards and your dinner.
The context of this, what Pete's about to say, is the fact that you rarely see a better lanyard than the Euros, the World Cup, or the
African
Olympics.
African Cup of Nations, they're quite big as well.
Olympics is good. I managed to get one for the Paralympics.
There's no need to be so big.
I still hang it on my doll.
I've seen people walking into MI6 with those little tiny ones. I don't know why they have to be so big.
But I mean, with that, I mean, in MI6, you probably don't want a visible one. This is who I am. James McBond. Scottish James Bond there.
James Bond.
By the way, just to stop you, James Bond is Scottish, mate.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yes, you
are. Marcus's fact of the day.
There we are. I just wanted to say it before anybody.
But I noticed on Roy Hodgson's lanyard, there's a number from 1 to 7 on everyone's lanyard.
Yeah, what's
and
he
he's
got?
Only number 5
right.
out of 7.
Not access
to
areas.
So he's not got access to areas.
Why aren't you in the technical area, Roy? I'm not allowed.
I'll
get the clearance.
Incredible.
Is he allowed to make subs?
No, maybe 1 to 4 is maybe areas on the pitch.
Yeah.
Quarters of the pitch.
I'd love to see players with lanyards.
Hit them in the face.
face.
You can't go in the box.
Well, there's an advert in today's Metro of Harry Kane with a set of inner ear Beats headphones.
Right.
Playing football. I'm like, you don't have them on, mate. Get him off. Yeah.
Wouldn't have thought so. No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Maybe Yogi Love's got it because he clearly.
More on him later.
Has access to all kinds of areas.
Don't worry.
Well, he's got access to his own areas too.
I know he does. Publicly, it's still very unusual.
His hands are very much all access.
Just quickly, before we move on from the England chat, I wanted to say that I'm really interested to see what England are going to be like when they play against a team who are going to try and beat them. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know why I'm looking forward to it, because invariably we know what happens.
I'll talk you out of this after the show.
I'm looking forward to it maybe not happening.
That'd be great if we can get all the way to the final without that happening. But when you play against a team who thinks we're better than you, we can beat you, I think England might well come into their own. They'll concede. There's no doubt about that. Mm. They'll concede. But they might well see their attacking players really come into their own because they'll have the space to do things. And the reason, the reversal of what people were saying earlier about England's team looking so green and looking like inexperienced, in a way, that's not bad when you're attacking because if you've got the space, you can really exploit it.
Looking at the France result yesterday, wasn't it, the France result? I'm kind of losing track a little bit. Like that first, certainly the second half against Russia, is looking better. That 1-1 that we had, it was looking better and better because nobody's really set the... set the tournament on fire massively.
I think France's performances and France's story of France's tournament so far has been very similar to England's. They've looked a bit nervous. They've struggled to break teams down against teams who haven't really shown an awful lot of ambition.
The occasion has got to a lot of them.
Yeah, but they've come through, and England have sort of come through as well. I know they've had a draw and not two wins, but I mean, 4 points after two games is fine.
True. I mean, the reason why I think it's so crucial for England to win the group, Pete, and other people who may doubt that, is if England do win the group, like Luke said, they play the third place side in either
A, C, or D.
Now, you'd much rather that. And going on what you said there, Luke, is that England should win a game like that. Unless, of course... if they came up against maybe the Czech Republic or Turkey in Group D, you would expect England
to
win.
You're not going to lose those matches, are you?
It is England.
It might be a dirty nil-nil until extra time or something.
To add a bit more fuel to that, if England come runner-up in Group B, they play the runner-up in Group F, which could well be Portugal, because Hungary are winning that group at the moment.
But if England...
The old enemy, Portugal.
That's right,
We definitely lose to Portugal. I don't know how it would happen, but we would conspire to lose
it. But Pepe, if England would have an influence.
Oh, imagine he'd get someone sent off, wouldn't he? It'd be just like 2006.
It massively would be,
Or get sent off and provide an excuse as to why we didn't win, or should have won, but didn't.
Well, if England could meet Portugal in the quarterfinals if both sides, I think, win their groups. But again, that is going on an awful lot of assumption from both sides. But if England did win their group, which is why I think it's very important, is you would imagine France, Germany and Spain to win their groups. Now, there are three sides that are all definitely better than England.
Yeah.
Possibly the only three definitely. I mean, you may be an argument with Italy or something, but Italy, we'll see how they get on during the tournament. They do have a great back line, we've discussed. But so the earliest England could play Spain if they win their group, if it would be semi-finals, and Germany and France, it would be final, if my calculations are correct, which I think they are. And that's why I think I don't want England to face one of the sides that would probably beat them in the second round or in the quarterfinals. I think go as far as you can into
a tournament.
Absolutely,
as we've said so many times, all we want from England at a tournament is for them to trick us into thinking they might be able to win it. If they get to a point where you can go, well, everyone's got a chance now, then that's brilliant.
I'll tell you something now, if England smash Slovakia like 3-0, I'm going to full on mode.
Oh god, absolutely.
I'm about DEFCON. What is it DEFCON 1 which is the most serious, or DEFCON 5? Which one's the most serious? 5 is the most here, so I'm about...
That's why Roy's got 5.
So I'm at Eurocon 3 at the moment.
Is it Dragon Ball Z where you turn it into Super Saiyan or whatever?
I don't know what that is.
Your hair turns into fire and that.
Yeah, so okay, that happens at 5. I'm probably about 2.6 at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you. Yeah,
I would still wear clothes, but they would all be St. George's flags just tied around me in different ways.
I look forward to that.
Northern Ireland, they might be dreaming now. Yeah. What a win.
Great win.
Against Ukraine. Okay, they're playing Germany next. But that is a fantastic
win. That makes it all the more important to get that win.
It does. 2-0 is a hammering at this tournament as well. Yeah, as we've seen. But that was the thing with Northern
Anyone
Ireland.
Anyone else worried about their goals prediction? I'm heavily worried about it.
Yeah, Gareth Bale's on for top scorer, or Dimitri Payet is one of the two. But with Northern Ireland, when they lost to Poland, you know, they were down about that, understandably so. But it's a tough game against Poland. I know they've still got Germany to come. We thought that play for a point there. They didn't quite do it. Ukraine, they'd have it marked down as the most winnable game. They've got that win.
I think it almost, I mean, I'm happy to be stand corrected here, but it almost all but guarantees they'll be in the second round. Because they're top of the third place teams now, as things stand.
Right.
Because
of that extra goal.
Yeah.
That was such a crucial goal that McGinn scored in the 95th minute or something.
As you say as well.
With
the sort of quite low scoring talent, it's a massive thing. And it could also be as well that if Germany win tonight, yeah, their foot's off the gas a little bit.
Well, that's maybe
rest some players.
Only win 4-0.
Yeah. Well, again, it will go down to goal difference with these tight margins and the four best third place teams.
I only saw the first half of the game because we had to come here to record, but I thought that it was fairly dull, but they acquitted themselves better. I was actually disappointed with them against Poland. I thought.
I think a lot of the Northern Irish public were.
Poland are a good team, but Northern Ireland were almost. They showed so little ambition and so little. I know they haven't got an awful lot of quality, but you know what I mean? So little quality in terms of how they applied themselves.
I think that's it. It's more that they showed little quality rather than ambition. It's not like they were hiding. It felt like they didn't really have a lot of ideas, which, you know, from the qualifying, is, you know, we saw very much the opposite of that.
The concentration of the team to see that one out, though, they were winning for a vast period of
They were winning for the whole second half, pretty much.
A vast period of the match. I enjoyed the substitution madness. Anyone else see that?
Yeah, that was strange.
I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. No, neither could anybody else.
At one point, I think, Michael O'Neill, one of the players, came over. Was it Corey Evans who eventually went off? And he came over and he was wondering what was going on. And another player came over and O'Neill just shoved him back on the pitch.
Him on.
He was like, "You get back on there!
Not today."
Yeah.
It was madness. I couldn't figure out what was bringing me shape. I was just trying to waste some time. But yeah, I don't know how they managed to confuse the man with the hub block sign, whether to let him on or not.
I think they confused themselves as well.
They must have been three subs at once.
No, it was just one sub.
Was a sub made at the end? I don't think it was.
Well,
was
I think it was about five or six minutes towards the end, something like that. And they were going to make a sub.
Don't make him all at one go if you don't waste time.
But the sub didn't happen in the end, but eventually, was it Josh McGinnis, I think, came on?
Somebody got a yellow card and all that.
Somebody did get, but that was Johnny Evans for kicking the ball away in the last minute. But yeah, I think Connor Washington came off at the end. Maybe he shored it up because Washington was playing up front. Because they didn't go for Carl Lafferty.
No.
The talisman.
Which was absolutely fantastic because on the radio leading up to the game, they had a couple of really local radio features about how there are pubs in Northern Ireland that are changing their name to Lafferty just for the game.
No need.
Didn't start.
Yeah. That's right. You need to get old Niall McGinn's name up there.
That's right.
Well, Macaulay, what a header that was.
He'll do that. He'll
beautiful
pop up.
Stuff.
He was a really good pick for fantasy football last season for West Brom. He pops up with headers.
It was a fabulous header.
In the rain.
The hailstones came down. That was vicious.
That was almost the size of the ball.
People.
That was vicious.
It was something vicious.
You're so wicked.
Yeah. The players had to go off.
Yeah.
That's their mental. I mean, you remember Ukraine in 2012 when they had to go off against France.
Mm.
But it wasn't like that.
That was in a playoff, wasn't it?
No, that was in the group.
Group stage, that's right.
Yeah, because England were playing Sweden the same day.
Harder to play.
Our hailstone's getting harder, Jim.
Because we were worried that our match was going to get called off or delayed, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because I remember watching the rain on the telly.
I do remember now, yeah.
You're talking. Football Ramble memories from Euro 2012. Right, shall we go to an ad break?
All right, then.
Let's
watch
do it.
Watch yourself. It's the Ramble Boys chucking out the bats, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Ad break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. Yeah, great days for Northern Ireland and England. Commiserations to Wales, of course.
But they've got a win under their belt as
They
well.
Do have a win under their belt. That's a
All the home nations are doing really well, I think.
Yeah. They are. And I you would fancy Wales to get at least a point against Russia, because Russia haven't looked good. Mm. And Wales, after that game, they'll think to themselves, come on, we can't... Well, they won't play defensively, of course, like they did against England. You would imagine they would come out and they would really go at Russia and probably get something there.
What with all that passion.
With all that passion.
They can dominate. They've got what it takes. I was surprised with the... I mean, we won't go back to the England thing now because we've done that to death, but I was surprised they didn't pick Williams to start the game. I mean, Johnny Williams. Yep. And I think he will do that against Russia, and I think they'll look to dominate possession because they can do that against Russia. Mm. And I think they should have enough to win the game and they'll go through.
Definitely. Have we been disappointed with France so far?
I haven't been disappointed. I mean, on one level I have, because they're a great team, packed full of quality, and I was expecting to see a little bit more
flair.
Flair going forward, but also sort of interesting haplessness at the back, and they've sort of they've seemed to me that they've had the occasions got to them a little bit, with the exception of Dimitri Payet, who's looked the best player.
Yeah, but I think what they've had though is they've had a very extreme example of what we've just been talking about with England, where in both of their games the teams they're playing are set up primarily to not lose, and the haplessness from the defenders has come in the other team's box. There's been some hapless aerial attacks from France's defenders.
That's true.
It was a shame for Albania because they were so close.
Yeah.
And the two games they've lost, and it's going to be very difficult for them to qualify.
Yeah,
for the next
you play, say right? that, but I know that, you know, they're never going to be able to go toe-to-toe with France, but I don't know, in a situation like I think, is it a shame? They've just tried to not lose.
And no, but it's the way the game's panned out, it's a shame because they kept them until injury time. Yeah. That's why it's a shame.
Oh, okay.
I know what you mean. Albania were a lot of people's sort of dark horses for this.
Well, that group.
But I mean, there were a lot of people's dark horses to go perhaps a bit further than people expected. Mm. And they're clearly not going to do that now unless they beat Romania in pretty decent fashion, which I suppose they sort of could do. But Albania, scoring goals isn't really their forte at the moment, as displayed by the fact that their top scorer in qualifying had one goal. six of them on one goal, and they've yet to score a goal in this tournament. Mm. So it's unlikely they're going to bang a few past Romania. But you never know, do you?
I'll tell you what, it was brave from Didier Deschamps to drop Griezmann and Pogba. Yeah.
It worked out very well for him.
Very brave.
I thought it was quite clever because, not least because obviously Griezmann came on and scored, but also I think he knew that his big player at the moment is Payet, but the big reputations are Pogba and Griezmann. It's no sort of coincidence he didn't drop Payet.
Yeah,
he dropped Pogba and Griezmann, but then they didn't play that well in the first game anyway. But what he did show to the squad, I suppose, is that he wants to play the best team he thinks that can win the games, and he doesn't care about reputation. That is important, and it's great that it's paid off.
And I think England could do with a little bit of that. Sorry,
who do you think they should drop in general? England, though. I mean,
Previous tournaments perhaps with Rooney, but not at the moment.
Do you more mean just general rotation?
I just think he has stuck with players in the first two matches who haven't played very well, and he could have made some changes.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. I think he might do in the third game.
But he did make the changes at half time though.
Yeah, he did.
But I think it's very good news for France that Deschamps is willing to do that.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't imagine Portugal dropping Cristiano Ronaldo anytime soon, although they should have taken him off against Iceland. They've been an absolute hindrance to his own side.
It's completely unrealistic to think the manager's ever going to do that.
Because the manager knows the power that Ronaldo has, you know, in the media, but also on the pitch. I mean, Ronaldo's one of the best players, you know, in the last flipping 20 years, maybe even one of the greatest players, blah, 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 blah. But when he's playing like that, he is effectively playing for himself.
The commentator, go on, Jim.
Yeah, but that is true, but this is Ronaldo, and he can always pull something out of the bag.
But he emphatically didn't.
But if you're the Portugal manager and you take him off and you deny the very option of that happening, you're going to get slaughtered.
You're going to hide into nothing, really. Mm. Because he's
well capable of doing it.
I agree. I understand what you mean, Jim. But just to pick up what Marcus said, I mean, the commentator was saying, oh, you know, Ronaldo could do with two or three of him in the squad, in the team, so he could actually burn their level. I did think, and I've not spoken to Marcus about this at any length, I genuinely did think, after watching that game, they could probably do with not having Ronaldo. Mm. I mean, because clearly he's on occasion, and, you know, on occasion fairly regularly going to pull these amazing goals at the bag and get them through. But is that really that beneficial for them in the long term anyway? Yeah. We do see examples of teams at tournaments who are greater than some of their parts, and I don't think Portugal have any chance of being able to do that with Ronaldo in the team. When you look at the fact they've got players like the young fullback Guerreiro, who's replacing Contreras, who looks a really good player, mm-hmm. Renato Sanchez, who just looks brilliant, you wonder how much they can flourish when someone like Ronaldo's in there. Yeah. And when Ronaldo's playing like that, it almost creates an impossible situation for the manager, because the manager who manages Portugal at the moment is sort of, he seems to be, from what I've seen, setting up his team to be very un-Portugal, like very sort of like, let's be solid, let's not give anything away, and hope Cristiano Ronaldo or Nani, who's a big player for them, does something. Mm. But that's not really what Portugal are that good at. And if Ronaldo perhaps wasn't there, maybe someone like Renato Sanchez could really come into the fray and do something great, and they could perhaps become more than some of their part.
But yeah. this is the 2-year anniversary of you saying this at the World Cup and comparing them to someone like Chile, and how they could do without having a player like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Chile sort of almost do have one in Alexis Sanchez, but his attitude is so much better.
Yeah,
like Ronaldo, you can tell what Ronaldo. I'm not one of these people who just massively hates Cristiano Ronaldo because he's a preening sort of egotistical maniac. I understand that he is those things, but
you see a little bit yourself in it.
Yeah, well, quite. Exactly. he clearly works really hard in training. He clearly pushes himself to be the best he can be, and his statistics are phenomenal. But on the flip side to that, he makes those comments he makes after the game against Iceland, and you can't imagine someone like Alexis Sanchez saying that.
No. Absolutely. Portugal were almost Portugal starring Cristiano Ronaldo.
Quite.
And after the game,
and Adam Lambert.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. After the game, we were talking about Ronaldo kicking off at something, and I couldn't work out what it was. And you explained to me, Pete, that he was angry at the referee because he had cannoned a shot into the wall, turned his back in frustration, the ball had hit him in the back, and he thought someone had fouled him. Well, that was just absurd.
Well, that was the final whistle, though.
Yeah, but still, though, it shows you the petulance of the man. Well, because Ronaldo, he's developed into one of the best players in the world. Clearly, he's added a maturity to his game that wasn't always there. There was this endless petulance that we kind of forget now. But now, when the stakes are high, you're seeing that come
full circle. Yeah.
Well, he's really sort of cementing his legacy in the things that he says in post match and at the, you know, Ballon d'Or and stuff like that. It's not that out again, mate. You're a long time retired, mate. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, but what he said about Iceland was that, I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I'm happy to defend the guy who's frustrated because he's, you know, not got the result he wanted or whatever. But there's no way to interpret those comments as any other than just being anything else being ridiculous. I mean, the way he saw Iceland, they celebrated like they won the tournament. It's so unbelievably massive for them to even be at the tournament.
Yeah.
So you'd have to be Scrooge to not say
what do you say to Portugal? What have you done internationally?
Yeah, quite.
You know, in the last 10 years. It's
a difficult thing, though, isn't it? Because Ronaldo, he's always going to be interviewed immediately after the match, and he does have this kind of personality to him where he's going to take things like that badly. And for all of us, you could say, all right, just keep yourself away from it. If you know that you've got that kind of character in you, just keep your head down, be quiet. But he's got the whole world going, what do you think, Cristiano? What do you think? And
but
I know
you
have to be
is,
more mature.
No one tells him what to do, do they? That's the point.
Well, maybe.
So they're talking about maybe whether or not he should have been subbed off. You live in a dream world. Yeah, there's no way. He has to pay attention to anyone other than himself in anything he does. So that's the father of these types of comments, because he's got no one around him.
My mate Ed sort of said that the only time a Hollywood actor gets told off is when they're on set and they're handling a firearm.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're the only people, the people who control the firearms, the only ones who sort of say, you effing well, just sort your shit
out. Give Ronaldo a gun.
Sorry. What I'm saying is, give him a gun.
Yeah. Well, Iceland had a gun. Gunnarsson. Although there
nice.
Was, I'm desperately trying to look. They only had one Gunnarsson. There were no two Gunnars in that side.
Okay, well, I appreciate your endeavour.
Yeah,
but sounds like you were sacking him.
But it's time for us to part. I think
I can do what I want unless I start talking about Gunnars.
He's like Cristiano Ronaldo.
The reason why I said that Ronaldo is a hindrance to his team on that kind of form, they had a free kick in a couple of promising areas. And Ronaldo was shooting for them. Now, okay, I know Bale scored against England, fine. But he'd already missed a couple. To me, put that ball in the box. You've got Pepe and one or two others in there. You're more likely to score that way. And when Ronaldo's me, and I've got no doubt that he's got his eye on that record that Platini has of 9 goals in the Euros. And that is more... Well, okay, I understand that if Ronaldo plays well and scores lots of goals, Portugal benefit. I get that.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I would have said that that record is more important than Portugal doing
to
well.
To him, it possibly would be.
He has the temperament of a number 9 striker, but he doesn't play in that position, so he's useless.
Ronaldo is useless.
There we are. Yeah. And we'll move on. But elsewhere in that group, the Hungarians were in dreamland against Austria. I mean, many a hipster's choice for dark horse Austria. But Hungary, I mean, they haven't been at a tournament for ages, and the guy up front, Saloy, I think it's pronounced, something like that, gets his first goal since December 2014, which was against...
Was that also for club? Not just
no,
country?
No, that was against Faroe Islands. It was for the club.
I think he'd had a long drought at club level as well.
Oh, had he?
Which is astounding.
No, it's not astounding looking at him play.
What a finish! Lovely, it was a lovely one too.
Great finish, yeah. The second goal was a lovely finish as well.
The second one was one of my favourite goals, a proper dink he went through.
This is a great thing about international tournaments, is that now this sets up Iceland play Hungary next, and they've both had great results, great positive results to start the tournament with, and it turns all of a sudden, the game that you would look at and go, I don't know if I fancy watching that, now it looks like a really good one. I mean, Iceland are 8-5 to beat Hungary with Bet365, so £10 on that will return you £26 including your stake, and having watched Iceland against Portugal, well, they might have a chance. But Hungary surprised everyone against Austria, who looked, by the way, just insipid.
They
were really underperforming.
You worry if you're Austrian.
At the same time, one of the brilliant things about tournaments like this is that we know that they're better than that. You know, the players they've got in that side, we know they have the potential to be better than that. So that's, you know, there's still a chance that this group could really explode and actually be a really surprisingly competitive one.
I thought it was glorious. Gabor Kirai, the oldest player at the tournament, with a clean sheet.
He looks every moment of that 40 years, doesn't he?
Wearing those heavy grey jogging bottoms.
That's been 2 years by that point, surely.
They're not even good tracksuit bottoms.
No. If you're going to wear tracksuit bottoms as a keeper, there are so many more options. He's had that. No, I'm wearing these.
The great thing about that is, with all this sort of advances in like modern apparel, if it starts raining,
he's in trouble.
Yeah. He can't move with that.
It's true. If he was against Northern Ireland, my goodness.
That was an interesting way of saying apparel, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you got Macca,
I just confused myself.
I went with it.
We're the ones have been drinking.
Karai in English means king.
Love that.
Fitting.
Love that. Mm. He does. He looks.
Karai
almost...
in Japanese means dislikable.
Dislikable king.
Dislikable tracksuit bomb.
Dislikable. What? Nothing. Also, I found out that Ferenc Puskás. The surname Puskás, it's difficult to translate, but it's kind of like gunsmith or gun, more like rifle. So it's kind of like Frank Rifleman or Frank sort of
nice.
Gunsmith.
Okay.
Frank Gunnar.
In a way, yeah.
Nice. There's your two Gunnars.
Yeah. Puskás didn't play.
I mean, he's not playing, no.
But it was brilliant, Fargo. I really enjoyed that one. As you say, Lou, you now look forward to games which you didn't think that you might do.
Well, the great thing about tournaments, I mean, we tend to forget this every single time because it's such a different, such a long time between tournaments, rather, that after the first round of games, it's very difficult to know what sort of teams are good and which ones aren't. Because if a team like I said to you before, England draw against Russia. Now, we've seen Russia play against Slovakia, they were poor, so now we can sort of establish that Russia are a poor side. But if they had beaten Slovakia fairly easily, you'd be like, well, that's a good point for England. But now we're seeing the second round of games. Mm. We're starting to know who the contenders are, who the surprise packages are, which teams are going to perhaps go a bit further than we thought.
It's the likes of Austria and Portugal you look into there. But you remember in, was it 2004? No. Which World Cup was it? Maybe 2006, when the Czechs had a great start, and I think they won 3-0, maybe.
Right.
And they looked really good, but they didn't end up getting out of the group.
Mm, yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, hang on, these could do
first
well
round
there.
Is very, very...
Maybe it was 2002, I forget which.
Very often the first round is essentially meaningless. You just don't really want to be on the end of a big defeat, and then you can start to move into the tournament.
Yeah. It is refreshing as well that in the age of every single pretty much every professional player on earth being available to view on the internet.
Yeah.
Teams can still surprise you.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
It's brilliant.
Mm. It's cool. Because you don't know what sort of camp they've had, what sort of preparation they've had, and then what the mood is like in the group. But it's worth pointing out, I know we're sort of only halfway through the second round of games at the moment, but in the third round of games, the teams play at the same time.
Yeah.
Because of potential corruption and stuff like that, so you've got to choose which game you want to watch. I'll be watching England Slovakia, not Russia Wales.
Potential corruption.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to watch, Pete?
Picture in picture. Got a special telly.
Yeah. You get two tellies on the go.
Two tellies.
My experience with that is that you don't end up watching either.
No.
Really.
Was it Bielsa who says he was? Who's the one who
watches? Yeah,
Bielsa.
He watches two games because he's trained himself to watch for the shapes.
Lots of people think he's the most fascinating, interesting, and progressive coach in the world. I think he's possibly the most boring man in the world.
Up yours.
He's got two tellies and apparently the largest selection of football VHS videos in the world.
That's
two,
right, yeah.
Obsolete now.
You can
keep that on a hard drive.
You don't want to be spending time with that man.
I don't have the option. I do not have the option.
Yeah.
But it's going to be decent. There are some good games coming up. Let's move on to our bet of the show, Luke.
Yes, well, the bet of the show last show, obviously, garnered us a winner.
Whee!
And garnered us £187.50 for Prostate Cancer
England
UK.
England doing it for charity.
If you don't remember, the bet was both teams to score and England to win in the Wales game, and they did that at 11-4. So yeah, like I say, £187.50 to Prostate Cancer UK. So that's good. And the bet of the show this time around is Shane Long to score at any time against Belgium, who looked disappointing against Italy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Shane Long is busy. He is busy. So £50 with Bet365 returns £170, including stake. It's 12-5 for him to score any time. But please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet. And gamble responsibly, of course. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to
gambleaware.co.uk.
We'll get that right one day.
Gamble.
Right.
But what do you think of the Ireland-Belgium game? I think they've got a chance.
I do, yeah. I think Belgium looked all at sea against Italy. And it's good for Ireland that Belgium need a win. We've talked about this sort of cat and mouse approach, didn't we, with regards to England and Wales, but also some other fixtures. And Belgium, there is an awful lot of pressure on them.
And it's not the first time they've frozen under that expectation.
Certainly
either.
Not, Jim. Certainly not. And I think that Ireland, they know their capabilities, they know their limitations, but what they're good at as well. They nearly got it right against Sweden. For the first kind of hour or so, they were the better side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll go into that game against Belgium thinking, do you know what, we can do something here.
Belgium didn't look... I mean, I'm almost loath to say this, but they almost didn't look interested against Italy.
Yeah, no,
it was a very strange performance.
Yeah. They played within themselves.
Italy, the ultimate pros. I mean, I know there was the 2010 when they were really disappointing.
Yeah. And 2014 as well, actually.
But generally speaking, they're the ultimate pros at tournaments.
Yeah, and also, as the new kid on the block, the last team you want to open against is unfancied Italy.
That's
the last thing you want.
Exactly, yeah.
And Italy, though, the way they celebrated the second one, they've got a good team spirit because I'd imagine they probably view Antonio Conte like a drill sergeant. And you know how a drill sergeant is so harsh? Yeah. They try to unite all the privates and whatnot.
I don't know what my major malfunction is. Just leave me alone.
Italy in the first game of a tournament, it's like creeping around a really noisy haunted house trying to not wake a sleeping giant. Anything you touch creaks really loudly.
England found out in 2014.
You're knocking glasses off the shelves, everything.
They're gesticulating all over the floor as they smash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Team spirit is good and that spirit is grappa.
Yeah.
An angry drink.
But should we have some highlights, Luke?
Yeah, do you want to do highlights or do you want to do emails first, Pete? What do you want to do?
An email, Peter.
I've got some highlights here, but I can do them afterwards.
There's a few of them. Tom from Preston says, I'm from Preston. Laura's custard remark is, you know, I've never heard that term before.
Oh, I've got a development on that. So
okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'll put it out there just to be part of the conversation, but I think
that was when Mark Lawrenson said he went down like custard.
Yeah, but then someone said to me, did he not say he went down like custard, as in general custard? But that also doesn't make sense because custard took ages to die.
I mean, effectively. You could apply it to anything that is subject to the laws of gravity.
Yeah.
Is that what Laura's going for?
I think we can establish the fact and maybe put this to bed now by saying he doesn't know what he's talking
either
about.
Either way. Tom says, hi chaps, my highlight of the week has to be the Herculean efforts of the Icelandic defence against Portugal, along with the countless commentary references to their population size. My favourite of these came with the proverbial Icelandic bus firmly parked in the final minutes when someone pointed out on Twitter that Iceland had 0.33% of their population behind the ball.
That is
brilliant. Yeah. That is sensational.
To put that in context, great. That's the same as having England having 1,749 men defending. Astoundingly, sometimes even four seems a big ask, to be quite frank.
I saw a picture of one of the ends behind the goal with the Iceland fans in it, and the line underneath saying 3% of Iceland.
Yeah.
a couple of updates on the forum. Congratulations to Matt Fool on the forum. He's tearing up the Laurel prediction game. He's destroying the rest of the forum.
Oh, wow.
Fraser sent us in a Craigie Brune update. He's been spotted doing a bit of PR for Aberdeen Pies. So there we go. They've got a new pie supplier.
That's what he should be doing.
And there's a lovely press shot of Craigie Brune with the tray of pies. Lovely old job.
I've got a Craigie Brune highlight as well coming up. So stay tuned for that.
The final email, I'm a little bit obsessed. I'm trying to figure out what the hell it is. It's from a man called Gwentha Goffar. And the email goes like this. Hey, I follow your site since I play football because it has style. I only got one question, and even if you're always up to date, I reckon you haven't mentioned anything about this kind of sock in the attached photos, did you? Just have no idea what it is about, what brand it is, and where you could buy it. It's definitely not true socks, but also not part of the half stockings because it was cut up. Can you help me? And he's attached a picture of an artifice in a full kit. And then 5 days later, he sends another one saying, hey, just seen these socks even at European Championships in France. A Swiss player was wearing them. Could be the foregrip from Falca. Do you know where I can buy it? And then he sends a picture of Seferovic for Switzerland in his socks and then a link to a sock website, Falca. I'm waiting for the third.
Hang on, asking us where we can buy things that
he's very interested in socks.
He's asking us for help. I think
help selecting and finding socks.
I think he's helping himself through us.
What, do you think he's a sock merchant?
I don't know, but we can't help. I've no idea how I would go about that.
Sock it to him.
Yeah. Maybe just a lot of sock chat on the emails this week. But thank you for that.
Maybe he's helping us, and we don't know about it.
Yeah, I doubt that. Cheers.
Gwentha, if you do want to give us another one, short at thefootballramble.com.
I've got some highlights here.
Please.
I've given Wales fans a pass. If they want to download the show but not actually listen all the way through, I understand that. Mm. But so there's not many Wales people getting in touch with highlights on the Facebook
Wales,
page.
Wales people.
My kind of Wales people.
Yeah, Joshua Harry Michael said, my highlight was hugging a bloke I can't stand from HR after the Sturridge winner. Because football brings us all together.
That's what football does, yeah.
He's put that on Twitter.
Hashtag, you're still a prick, Gavin. to which James Blunt, he wasn't involved.
Yeah.
James Bunce replied saying, he definitely drew a penis on your back. Mike Parsons says, the moment of realisation that England are going to win the Euros following a last minute injury time winner against a side featuring players from the likes of MK Dons, Reading and Gillingham. What else have I got here? Stephen McKenzie says, I met wee Craigie Brune at a comedy show in Newcastle in which he was appearing. Sounds unlikely. I mentioned you by name, to which he rolled his eyes, shook his head and walked off. Spells he has left his mark.
That's not true.
It's not true, is it?
No, it's definitely not true.
It's a Craig Brown thing.
I've met Craig Brown. We had a lovely old time. And I'll leave that there.
I think that's pretty much it.
Did you get off with Craig Brown?
Thank you, Vienna. That's all I'll say.
Tom Lyon says, Guy Mowbray threatening to separate Martin Keown and Robbie Savage by coming between them, even if that means he'll have to open up both ears to the sluice of patients testing diarrhoea foaming from the mouths of our least favourite summarisers. They were terrible.
I mean, I'd be annoyed if I was Welsh, to be honest. I haven't listened to that crap.
Part Welsh? Oh, I'm not Welsh now.
I'm not Welsh now.
Andrew Brown, I'll finish off with Andrew Brown saying, Gary Neville joining in the goal celebration like the PE teacher that wishes he was still part of the team.
Oh,
quickly realising he's in a tracksuit that's far too tight for a man of his age.
Yeah. Trying to crush Dele Alli.
He was, wasn't he?
Do you know who's in really good nick? Roy Keane. Yeah. He's not put any weight on since his playing days.
You'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but you'd imagine if he did put a bit of fat on, he would just look at it and the fat would just disappear.
Yeah, also, that amount of quiet fury is basically constant exercise.
Yeah. Think of the calories he burns just thinking.
Just his stomach constantly tensing.
Oh, actually, I should probably finish off with... I completely forgot about this, but I've just noticed it here. I should finish off with literally a highlight from John O'Shea. I presume it's not the actual John O'Shea.
No, he can't work.
Saying Ray Wilkins was on TalkSport yesterday for the Romania game and he was clearly drunk.
That's a big legal shout, isn't it?
One for the lawyers.
One for the lawyers, that one.
Some of the beauts he came out with while previewing the England-Wales game were as follows. Chris Coleman is a proper bloke and I love him to pieces.
Definitely.
Put everyone up front and attack Wales. This is not an international game, it's a Premier League game. I don't give much to formations. It's 11 blokes against 11 blokes. Just get out there and play.
Oh, sorry, he didn't sound drunk. The things he was saying made him sound drunk.
Just reducing the whole football media industry to like two sound like
22 millionaires kicking an inflated thing around, doesn't
it? Yeah. It just reminds you of that headline in one of the Italian papers, I think it was, after the England-Ireland game in 1990, their opening game of the 1990 World Cup. Now, obviously, the Italians have got this wrong because the Republic of Ireland is emphatically not in the UK. Mm. But the headline was, no football, please, we're British.
I like that. Nice.
Yeah, very good. A highlight, of course, Yogi Love apologising for the scratch and sniff, saying it was adrenaline and concentration.
Yeah. Is that what he found down there?
That's what he got
Is
from
that
it.
What it smelt like?
I mean, presumably they have a PR team. If that's the best they can come up with.
To be fair, though, at least he's like, he went, yeah, sorry, but that was disgusting. And then I am a garbage human.
And then he went on to say, I will try to behave differently in the future. But we want more of a guarantee.
Yeah.
Just don't pick your arse and smell it, mate.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be as simple as that, but it really is.
Any more for any more?
I guess all from me.
Mm. Well, thanks for listening to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. We will be back on Sunday, of course, after more Euro games. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
And a goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.